Okay, today's shiur and every shiur throughout the summer is sponsored by Friends of Danielle Englander. Last night we started off on the Heterim for Bishalakum, and as we said, the Gemara that we read last night has two very clear and very straightforward Heterim for the Yisur of Bishalakum. Number one, Nechal Kamar Shulchai, and number two, Einol Shulchum Alachim. So we discussed pretty thoroughly, I think, last night, the concept of Nechal Kamar Shulchai. We had the basic Chakira, whether Nechal Kamar Shulchai, the heter of Nechal Kamar Shulchai, is that the guy didn't really do all that much for you, and therefore it's not going to create that sense of kurva, or whether the heter is that it simply doesn't have a shame tavshil, that it's not called a cooked item if it didn't need any cooking to begin with. And we pointed out all the nafkaminas for different halachos in regards to whether something has a shame tavshil or does not have a shame tavshil. One thing that we didn't get to discuss, but that I wanted to discuss, is whether this heter is something that's an all-out heter, and therefore there's no reason whatsoever to even try to be machmir when you have a food that's nechal kamo shulchai, that's edible raw, that a guy cooks for you. So if you come home one day the guy that working in the house is a different story, but let's say in whatever situation a guy cooks you carrots or vegetables that you could have eaten raw, broccoli, carrots, things like that, but that have been made more delicious by being cooked. So is it mutter is it something that you should say, you know what, I'm going to be machmir, I'm a bal nefesh, I'm someone who's on a high level, I'm a ben Torah, so I'm going to be machmir. Is this something that's appropriate for a bal nefesh to be machmir? You know, it's a very tricky thing. Sometimes chumras are a good thing. My chavrusa, Rabbi Razman, has a whole shiur on when it's appropriate to have a chumra, when it's not appropriate to have a chumra, because sometimes chumras border on yuhara, sometimes chumras are chumras mevim lidei kula. So is this something that's a worthwhile chumra, or is it something that a person should say, you know what, I shouldn't be machmir, because Chazal gave me a heter. Chazal said this is not included in the gzeir of bishlakum, and perhaps it's bichlal kala mosif gareya, that you're going to try and add chumras to the parsha of Bishalakum that don't exist. Maybe that's counterproductive. Maybe that's not a good thing to do. So there was a Gemara that didn't make it into the Mar Makomos. I make it sound like it's not my fault when I say it didn't make it in. I neglected to put it in the Mar Makomos. There's a Gemara that says the following in Masechta Shabbos Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, Amar le Rav Nachman Ladaru Avde. Rav Nachman said to his servant, Atman Lit Sonein, I want you to do hatmana on cold water for me, va'aisili maya da'achim kfeila arma'a, and also I want you to bring me water that was heated up by a non-Jew, by a non-Jewish chef. So Shama Rabbi Ami heard Rav Nachman's request, and let's focus on the second one now, the request for water heated up by a non-Jew, v'ikbid, and Rabbi Ami got all upset at Rav Nachman. How could you make such a request? Amr of Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, my time of Ikbid. What was Rabbi Ami getting so upset about? Rav Yosef didn't understand why Rabbi Ami got upset at Rav Nachman for what he had done. Because after all, Kravaseyavad, he was doing like his Rebbeim held. He wasn't doing something so unusual. He wasn't making up his own shitos. He was doing just like his Rebbeim taught him. Chadak Rav, Chadak Shmuel. One of the things he requested is exactly in line with Rav, and the other one is exactly in line with Shmuel. Kishmuel da Amar Dam Rabbi Damar Shmuel Mutilahat Minasatzonin. He's doing in line with Shmuel. Kishmuel held you're allowed to do atmana on something cold. Now, why would you do atmana on something cold? We're not talking about atmana b'davar amosif hevel. This is what we're not talking about now. This was the first request. Hatmana b'davar she'ena mosif hevel. Why would you do it on something cold? What would be the point before Shabbos or on Shabbos of doing hatmana with something on something cold that's not mosif hevel? What are you going to accomplish? So the assumption is that you're accomplishing that it's not going to that at least it will stay room temperature. It's not going to get colder. So you do some sort of hatmana to keep some level of heat inside of it. So he said that was following the sheet of Shmuel. So requesting hatmana on something cold was perfectly mutter in Rav Nachman's view, because he was following the sheet of Shmuel. And he was, and in regards to the Bishalakum issue, he was following Rav. Ki Rav, Dam Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Kol Shu Nechel Kamo Shu Chai, Ein Bo Mishum Bishulei Nachrum. Because after all, Rav holds anything edible raw is not a problem of Bishalakum. So when Rav Nachman requested something that he requested, well, water. Water is definitely edible raw. That's our heter for having coffee that's cooked by non-Jews and the like, or hot chocolate, any of those things, is because these are things that are, water is the fundamental base of the coffee. It's just, as we said, coffee halachically is considered like dirty water. So water is nechel kmo shu chai, it's edible raw. So if it's edible raw, it's mutter. So he said he's just following his Rebbe. So why are you getting all upset? Why is Rabbi Ami getting all upset at Rav Nachman, wonders Rav Yosef? So answers the Gemara, Savar Adam Chashav Shaini. Rabbi Ami got upset because he thought an Adam Chashav like Rav Nachman should stay away from something like this. So now, you read that Gemara. Is that Gemara a Raya? Everyone holds that Gemara is a Raya. Now the question is that Gemara a Raya that an Adam Chashav should be Makbid? Or is it a Raya that an Adam Chashav should not be Makbid, or doesn't have to be Makbid? So no, what are the two tzadim? How would you take that Gemara?
Either you see that he was wrong and
Rabbi Ami, who is criticizing Rav Nachman.
Yeah, either he's considered right or not right, according
okay,
to
okay, meaning, so it's the way you understand this Gemara, it's a machlokas, Rabbi Ami and Rav Nachman. It's not that there's a progression in the Gemara, yeah, that Rav Nachman did something that was wrong, that's why he was criticized. Rav Yosef initially didn't understand why he was criticized. Then the Gemara says, oh, this is why he was criticized, because he's an Adam Chashuv. And then Rav Yosef was like, okay, that makes sense now. And the maskana is that he was criticized because he's an Adam Chashuv. You understand that it's a machlokas. Rav Nachman knew what he was doing. He knew that he was an Adam Chashuv, and he didn't care. He said, yeah, there's no such thing as an Adam Chashuv being Machmir. And Rabbi Ami said, no, you're an Adam Chashuv, you should hold yourself to a higher standard. So that's the Yesod HaMachlokes between Rabbi Ami and Rav Nachman. So depending how you're going to paskin, Rabbi Ami or Rav Nachman, is going to depend on what you hold about an Adam Chashuv. Now, is there any indication which way you should paskin, Rabbi Ami or Rav Nachman?
Yeah.
Ah, so it sounds like Rabbi Ami got the last word in the Gemara, right? But what was the Gemara doing when Rabbi Ami got the last word? The Gemara was trying to explain to Rav Yosef why Rabbi Ami was upset. It was only explaining his shita. Now, you could read the Gemara as a machlokas. On the one side you have Rabbi Ami, on the other side you have Rav Nachman and Rav Yosef. You have two against one. Or you could read it as Rabbi Ami against Rav Nachman. Rav Yosef is just confused. At the end, they unconfuse him, but he doesn't really take sides. Right? So how you read this Gemara is going to depend on what you hold about Adam Chashuv. So with that background, if you look at the Bach in source number 17, so says the Bach, a few lines into it, says le'inyan halacha skamas haposkim l'kula de'ein asur el davar she'einu nechel k'mo shu chai v'gam hu olal shulchan malachim. We pass them like both of the heterim in our Gemara. And by the way, even though we mentioned last night that the Rabbeinu Chananel has the three nafkaminas and they don't all go in the same direction according to Rabbeinu Chananel, all the Rishonim quote Rabbeinu Chananel is also holding of both kulas, that he holds of both kulas. The Ran and all the other Rishonim quote Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, that was an aside. Says the Bach Weiter, Achein, even though we hold of both of these heterim, Beperek Bamet Homnin, in Shabbos Tafnun Aleph Isa, Da Adam Chashav Yesh Lo Lizar, Af Bedavar Shenechel Kmo Shu Chai. That an Adam Chashuv should be careful even on food that's edible raw, an Adam Chashuv should be careful and stay away from it. Now, he doesn't even quote the Gemara, he just tells you how he reads the Gemara, right? So he obviously, the Bach obviously understood the Gemara, that Rabbi Ami got the last word, and that's how the Gemara's conclusion is. Upirish Rashi, so why should an Adam Chashuv has a different religion to follow than everybody else, why should an Adam Chashuv be Makbid? So he quotes Rashi, Lefisha Roa Oso Shuhu Mekel, Omeru Mekel Yoser. In general, people's attitude toward religion is whatever the rabbi can do, I can do one level lower, right? So if the rabbi has to therefore hold himself to a standard that's a little bit beyond the halacha, because everyone's going to say, well, if he could do that, then, you know, I'm not as religious as him, so I could do a little bit less, right? So that's how Rashi explains the idea of an Adam Chashuv. Then he quotes the Gemara. After he's already biased you in terms of how to read the Gemara, he then quotes the Gemara, and he tells you that a davar shenachal kmo shu chai is something that an Adam Chashuv should be makbid about. And at the end he says, ikulitmoa lama lo kasva rabbeinu. But it's very strange that the Torah didn't write anything about that. The Torah in Hilchos Bishlakum just quotes that terim, doesn't say anything about an Adam Chashuv. It's strange that the Torah doesn't say anything about an Adam Chashuv. So says the Bach. Now, the Shach in Yaradeh Simen Kufnun Beis regarding a situation of an Akum who makes a mishta lebno, makes a party for his son. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about whether you're allowed to attend such a party. You have to learn the sugi carefully to know what fits into the category of a akum ha'os, a mishta lebno, and what doesn't. But it talks about that if it's 12 months after the kid's already married, then you're allowed to go. Ela imkein hu adam chashuv, Shulchan Aruch says. Unless you're an adam chashuv. Then even after 12 months, you still shouldn't go, even if you're an adam chashuv. So says the Shach, this is source number 18, says the Shach, Varifa Rambam Shmitu Isur Adam Chashuv. The Rif and the Rambam don't mention this Isur of an Adam Chashuv. The Kasva Bach Disfirlu Dafilu Adam Chashuv Shari, and must be because they hold that there's no such chumra by an Adam Chashuv in regards to this halacha. Vidachak Liyashiv Ashas Ladaitam, and it's hard to make the Gemara work according to their Shita. Vili Nira, says the Shach, this is the key. He says the reason the Rif and the Rambam don't mention a chumra of Adam Chashuv in regards to the Akum Osa Mishta Lebno is because it's totally unnecessary to mention a chumra of Adam Chashuv. That's not something that's specific to any given halacha. That's an attitudinal thing about all of Kalat Arukula, that when a person is an Adam Chashuv, they have to know that they have to act in a different way. And it's true about Kalat Arukula. It's not in a specific sugya where you need the Shulchan Aruch to tell you, oh, an Adam Chashuv over here should act differently. Or, I shouldn't say Shulchan Aruch, we need the Rambam and the Rif to tell you that an Adam Chashuv should act differently. Of course, it's in Kalat Arukula that an Adam Chashuv acts differently. And he says, V'chein tzarech lomu l'das ha-Rambam v'ator Shulchan Aruch simen kuf yud gimel. Shalom kasvu hadisa b'shas Adam Chashuv asr b'bishul akum. Af b'davar shenach l'kamo shu chai. He says, and that's why it doesn't say it in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel by Bishul Akum that an Adam Chashuv should be makbid, not even to the davar nechut Moshe Uchai. Why not? Because it's pashut. It's in Kalat Arukula. It's something it's such a broad category. It doesn't have to be mentioned every single time you come up with a halacha. Now you would expect it to be mentioned at least in the cases where the Gemara explicitly mentions it, but the Shach doesn't think it's necessary. The Shach thinks that even though the Gemara happens to mention it in regards to Hatmanas Tzonein on Shabbos, and in regards to Nechal Kamo Shukhai by Bishlakum, that's Lav Dafka. Over there, it's really everywhere, and therefore, says the Shach, for sure an Adam Chashuv should be Makbid. So far, we've seen one side. Right? Clearly, the Bach and the Shach are of the opinion that an Adam Chashuv should be Makbid. Yeah?
If it's so cheap that this is called Harakula Adam Chashuv, was it Ravani who...
It's now Pshita after the Gemara. After the Chasim's Talmud, we're going to apply it across the board. Right? Question?
Are they Adam Chashuv making it seem that it's Halacha they're doing this? Or they're just being more mocking? Because didn't we talk about last week, if you're doing something and you're going to think it's Halacha, and it's really just...
And it's really just a Chumra, right, that's problematic. Well, yeah. Tosif or whatever. Apparently, I'm not sure. I don't know how an Adam Chashuv can play this in a way where it's not going to look like a halacha, where it's not going to look like that's the Ikra Din, but for him, it is the Din, is what the Shach and the Bach are understanding, that Adam Chashuv has to hold himself. Meaning the assumption is that since people are going to take it one level lower, so it becomes the Din for an Adam Chashuv to live on a higher standard. Yeah, I don't know how a person avoids making it look like that's the Ikra Din for everybody. I don't know. Yeah. That's a very hard thing to do, right? So it depends what halacha that you're talking about, right? Sometimes Adam Chashuv means anyone who is obviously Jewish, you know, anyone who the rest of the world will look at and say that that's a Jew. And so in a certain sense, sometimes Adam Chashuv means not really an Adam Chashuv. It's like Bal Nefesh is a very hard thing to, like Rav Shechter once remarked that he heard a certain Rosh Yeshiva from Eretz Yisrael giving a shir and said, oh, Bal Nefesh should be Machmir, but we're not Balei Nefesh. And Rav Shach said, the guy's a Rosh Yeshiva, you know, like maybe at a certain point he should consider himself a Bal Nefesh. Like it's hard to define exactly. And you have to look, halacha by halacha, by halacha basis. Question? No? Okay. So that's the Shita of the Bach and the Shach on the one side. If you take a look at the Aruch, actually, the Aruch HaShulchan also didn't make it into the Mar Mekomos. Aruch HaShulchan, Kuf Yud Gimel, Os Yud Aleph. When you have a chance, if you take a look, I'll read it to you now. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Kuf Yud Gimel Yud Aleph. Yesh migdolei achronim, sheratzu lo mar dadam chashavasu lo lachal v'lishtos mi bushu le'akum, ach bedavar shenach l'kmo shulchai. The Bach and the Shach want to be Machmir. However, V'rabim dachu divrayhem. A lot of the Achronim reject the Bach and the Shach, and he quotes the Pri Chadash, the Taz, Magen Avraham and Siman Reish Nun Zayin. Siman Reish Nun Zayin, that's an Aruch Chaim. Magen Avraham and Aruch Chaim, Siman Reish Nun Zayin. What would that be about? Where is Magen Avraham talking about Adam Chashav over there? So he's obviously not, it's not about Bishalakum, but it's about the other halacha mentioned in that same Gemara and Shabbos, about Hatmanas Tzonein. So you would expect whatever the halacha would be regarding Atmanas Tzonein, about an Adam Chashav, the same halacha would be true regarding Bishalakum. So in that context, if you look up, that's the Magen Avraham, because it should, you know, jump out at you. You're sitting here learning your day, and he's quoting Magen Avraham. What's he quoting Magen Avraham for? So you have to realize what the context of the original statement is. So your first thought is, come on, he's quoting Magen Avraham about a different halacha. It's definitely not going to have anything to do with anything. But he's quoting Magen Avraham on the halacha that is coupled with this halacha in the Gemara. So it makes sense that he quotes it. So the Magen Avraham also says that an Adam Chashuv doesn't have to be Machmir in regards to Hatmanas Tzonein. Ve'emes kenu, da'af agav dematzinu kama pa'amim b'shas, sha'adam Chashuv tzorech la'achmir al'atzmo, even though we find many places in Shas where an Adam Chashuv does in fact have to be Machmir, mikal makum b'dinze she'matzinu b'gemara d'rav Nachman asa ma'isa ba'atzmo la'hatir, Rav Yosef Hichzik Biyado. He says, but if you read this Gemara in Shabbos Nunal that we read before, it's not saying to be Machmir. It says that Rav Nachman was Mekel. Rav Yosef thought Rav Nachman was right in being Mekel. So it just says Rabbi Ami was Machmir on it. But obviously Rav Nachman wasn't Machmir, and Rav Yosef wasn't Machmir. So he says it's a two against one. Halacha Karabim, says the Orcha Shulchan. We paskin like Rav Nachman and Rav Yosef against Rabbi Ami, and he says v'chein mashma miloshen Rosh Hashem, and that's what's mashma from the whole presentation of the Gemara there, the kind of language that the Gemara uses. So again, it all goes to how to read that Gemara. Is the Gemara progression? Is the Gemara machlokas? Is it a two against one? Is it a one against one with one guy in the middle? It's all how to read that Gemara. But the Aruch HaShulchan seems to assume, says pretty emphatically that there's no room for a chumrah of an Adam Chashuv. Dagum Ravava also, in Nod Bihuda, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Dagum Ravava, he writes, Dover Shnechel Kmo Shuchai, Einu Nesar Bishalakum, Afilu La Adam Chashuv. Even an Adam Chashuv does not have to be machmir about a Dover Shnechel Kmo Shuchai. Why? Kivin Shrav Nachman, Asa Maisa Lehetar, Maisa Rav. So he says, throws in another svara. It's not just that it's a machlokas in the Gemara. There's one of the klalim in halacha. We often discuss klali apsak, right? Bisham Besil, Pasna Besilel, Yachiv Rabim, Alach Rabim. So the Aruch HaShulchan uses Yachiv Rabim over here. Dagum Ravava says there's another klalim psak. Maisa Rav Adif is a klalim psak. That if the Gemara says, that Ploni holds Ploni holds something is mutter, something is aser, and Almoni actually did it. Not only is he holds it's mutter, he actually did it. Well, actually doing something shows much greater confidence in your psak than saying in the base medrash you think it might be mutter. So when we have a Maisa Rav, that shows that that's a psak with that's made, as Rav Shechter would like to say, that's not made me'anias hadas. He always thinks that it's wrong for poskim to write la'anias daiti in a psak halacha. Psak halach has to be me'ashirus hadas. So a person makes such a psak, that's me'ashirus hadas. A person makes such a psak that he's willing to follow, that he's not just saying theoretically in the base medrash. So that itself shows a certain confidence in the psak, and that's one of the klalei psak, that you would follow the one who does a ma'isa rav. So this was a ma'isa rav. Rav Nachman did this. Rav Nachman did it, and obviously he held it was correct. Now, you could argue, how would the Bach respond to the ma'isa rav element of it? He would say, yeah, it was a ma'isa rav, but it didn't go uncriticized. Meaning that was the point. The point was he did it, and that's why Rabbi Ami got all upset at him. He criticized him for it, and the Maskan of the Gemara sounds like Rabbi Ami was justified in his criticism, because after all, Rav Nachman is an Adam Chashuv. We understand why Rav Nachman did it. A very humble guy, doesn't want to view himself as an Adam Chashuv. But the point is, the Maskan of the Gemara sounds like Rabbi Ami was justified in his criticism. So this is a classic example of how, you know, everyone agrees what the source is. Sometimes disputes in halacha revolve around what the key maramakom is, which sif in Shulchan Aruch we're talking about. Over here, everyone agrees what the source is. The primary source is Shabbos and Aleph. Question is, what's the primary source telling us, right? So that's the machlokas in the poskim. I think the general assumption is that this is like the Aruch HaShulchan says and like the Dagon Rava says, that this is something that we're mekel, that it doesn't matter if you're an Adam Chashuv or not, everyone is mekel. You know, even the most machmir Ashkachos, if I'm not mistaken, would be mekel on a Davar Nechol Kmo Shul Chai, that it's mutu, that it's not a problem of Bishalakum. Okay, so that's heter number one, Davar Nechol Kmo Shul Chai. Moving along, second head to the Gemara mentioned, Eino al shulchan malachim. Eino al shulchan malachim. So, first of all, we mentioned yesterday that even though Eino al shulchan malachim was mentioned in the Gemara in the context of arguing on the first heter, or that's what it sounded like, that the first heter was Nechol Kamo Shulchai, but that's what they taught in Surah. In Pumbedisa, they taught that you have this heter of Eino al shulchan malachim, Lelafis Posapas, any food that's not eaten at a king's table is not subject to Bishlakum. Tosus points out that we paskin like both kulas. And he's medayik it from the fact that all the nafkaminas point in one direction, but he points out clearly that we paskin like both kulas. If you look at the Ran on Tezvav Amralf Bedape Arif, if you look at the Ran, Tezvav Amralf Bedape Arif, in the second wide line, says the Ran, Aval Harambanzal Pasa Kalishan Desurai. The Ramban holds that it is a machlokas over here. They have a machlokas between Surah and Pumbedisa. There is a heter about Bishalakum. The question is, which is the heter? There are no two heterim. It's either Nechol Kmo Shulchai or Ein Olal Shulchan Malachim. Ramban Paskin's collision destroy the culture of Nechol Kmo Shulchai. Afal Pisha Ein Olal Shulchan Malachim Yeshbo Mishum Bishalakum. Even though somebody's not Olal Shulchan Malachim, it's still subject to Bishalakum. Where does Ramban get this idea from? The Hevi Raya Me'ahini Shliki Dilakaman. He brings a raya from Lamed Chesam and Beis. The Gemara in Lamed Chesam and Beis, about 7-8 lines before the lines get really wide, in the medium-sized lines, asks, Bo minei merabiasi, hani ahini shliki da'arma'i mai. What's the halacha about cooked dates of the Arma'i people, meaning non-Jews cooked dates? Are you allowed to eat them? So says the Gemara, chulye loti bayalach tevadesharu. If they're sweet dates, then for sure it's mutter. Why? So Rashi explains, because it's Nechol Kmo Shulchai. You could eat the sweet dates uncooked, so you don't need to cook them in order to make them good. Miriri, loti bayalach tevadei asiri. If they're bitter dates, that you couldn't eat them raw, so then obviously it's going to be aser. Kiti bayalach mitziai, middle ground dates. Dates that aren't so sweet, they're not so bitter, that's a shaila. When a guy cooks it for you, is that considered Nechol Kmo Shulchai? Is not considered Nechol Kmo Shulchai? That's a shaila. Now, the Ramban, when it says the Ran, when the Ramban read this Gemara, he assumed middle ground dates, that sounds like they're not, the sweet dates sound like the really good stuff. The bitter dates sound like the really bad stuff. The middle dates sound, you know, mediocre. So it sounds like the only dates that would be Olal Shulchan Malachim, if any, would be the best ones, would be the sweet ones. The others would not be Olal Shulchan Malachim. And therefore, the Gemara, even though it's talking about something that's not Olal Shulchan Malachim, says, we're still not sure. It all depends on Nechol Kmo Shulchai. The Gemara makes the whole issue Talia Nechol Kmo Shulchai, even though the food in question is something that wouldn't be served on a king's table. So that's Ramban's Raya, that it must be that the heter of Olal Shulchan Malachim is not a heter at all. That you only have the heter of Nechol Kmo Shulchai. And what's the rejection of the Raya? So the Ran rejects the Raya. If you look at the Ran, he says, "Vehevi Raya mihini shliki d'lekamand sfirle the Ravzal she'ein olon ashulchem lachim." The Ramban assumes that it's not all ashulchem lachim. Va'afilu achi meriyum tziyai yasiri, and still the bitter ones and the middle ground ones are going to be aser. Ve'ein zu Raya. He says not a Raya at all. Deman lemelan dahanu ahini shliki d'tu lo yu olon ashulchem lachim. Da'afilu meriynami efsha shehein mis maskin b'shlikasan. Miriri just means that, what? When was it bitter? Before you cook it. But then once you cook it, it's obviously going to be good. It might even be really good. After you cook it, once you already cook it up, it might be the sweetest thing in the world. It might be delicious. So it might be Olal Shulchan Malachim. Don't make the assumption, says the Ran, that when the Gemara talks about bitter dates, it's got to be something that's not Olal Shulchan Malachim. It's not qualitatively a worse date. It's just something that can't be eaten raw, because when you eat it raw, it just doesn't taste as good. What's the Yisod HaMachlokas over here? What are they really arguing about? Yeah?
The before, after the Bishul,
raw food itself, or is the food post being cooked?
That's what it sounds like they're arguing about. The only thing is, it's difficult to assume that it should be before it's cooked, right? Then meat is not olah l'shulchan melachim, right? So it has to be that it's after it's cooked. So what is it? Yeah. Why would that relate? The thing is, the Shtanim B'Briyasa, the way I understand it, maybe I'm wrong, but the way I understand it is that the shape is the same, is that it looks the same from the outside. What's happening with these dates is not that it's getting mushed, it's that it still looks roughly the same, it's just that the bitter taste is coming out of it as a result of the cooking.
What?
I don't know. I assume it could. Now, what I thought maybe the discussion over here is about is we discussed yesterday a little bit. Actually, let's put it this way. These three types of dates, are they grown on the same tree? These mariri, these sweet ones, and the middle ones, are they all grown on the same tree? Are they all the same dates? So there are two ways to understand this. You can understand that mariri means that they're very bitter because you picked them when they still weren't ripe. So that's why they're still bitter. So they're all grown on the same tree. It's just a matter of when you pick them. Or it could be that we're talking about different classes of dates. There are different types of dates that grow in different kinds of trees. Some dates, when the type of date that it is, it's always going to be bitter. Even you pick it at the right time. You're not picking it at the wrong time. It's bitter if you want to eat it raw. And the way it's meant to be eaten is cooked. You're supposed to cook it. That's just the way it's meant to be. And that's the mariri. Now, I think depending on how you read, and we discussed yesterday a little bit, right? Is an apple that's not ripe, right? Is that considered nechel kamo shuchai? If you can't eat it right now, but when you cook it, it's going to be edible, is that called nechel kamo shuchai? So the truth is, you read this Gemara, it seems like you have a very clear raya, whether it's considered nechel kamo shuchai. This Gemara seems like it's saying, it's not nechel kamo shuchai. The Gemara is talking about dates. If it's talking about all growing on the same tree, right? These are all dates that grow together. And it's just a matter of when you pick them. Do you pick them before they become ripened, after they become ripened? So it's a clear raya. The Gemara says, well, if you pick them really early, and they're really bad when you pick them, so then that's not nechel kamo shuchai. That's not considered edible raw, because this date's not edible raw. But we pointed out yesterday that's a major discussion in the poskim. It's not so pashut at all. That something that an apple that's unripened is considered not nechel kamo shuchai. It's not pashut at all that way. So what might be the subject of the machlokas might be how to read this Gemara. If you're talking about that all the dates grow on the same tree, so obviously the ones that are unripened are bad. They're of inferior quality to the ones that are ripened. But if you're talking about different types of dates, and some dates are just the nature, it's like, is an onion worse than an apple? What do you mean, is an onion worse than an apple? Onions are not meant to be eaten raw, they're meant to be cooked, and they're great when you cook them. Apples are meant to be eaten raw, when you eat them raw, they're also good. You can't really compare them. It's apples and onions, right? You can't compare the two. Right, but when it comes to the same thing over here. If these dates are different types of dates, they're different meaning. They're totally different items. It's not that one is garua and one is better. One is just meant to be cooked. One is not meant to be cooked. They're all olal shulch malachim as long as the king knows how to eat them. And if he takes the ones that are more mar and he cooks them, so that's olal shulch malachim. And if he takes the ones that are sweeter and he eats those, that's all shulchan malachim. They're all shulchan malachim when they're prepared the right way. But if you're talking about that it's all grown on the same tree and he pulls one and mariri means that it's not ripe at all, so then that you understand is not going to be shulchan malachim because that's garua. It's a Michael garua. He took something that's clearly an inferior fruit. An unripened apple is clearly inferior to a ripened apple. Perhaps I thought I wanted to say a hezber and not machlokas. Yeah, that would be.
Maybe, but the whole thing with that is that to be able to tell, how do you know if there's some dates that are good on the tree, some not good, only when they take a bite out of it.
No, I think you could see when it ripens, just like any other fruit that you can see when it's fully grown and when it's the right color. So I think you could be able to tell without that. Okay, so that's the basic machlokas lahalacha between the Ramban, it seems, versus Tosfos and the Ran. But we assume lahalacha that Ein Olo Shulchan Lachem is a legitimate heter. That it is in fact a legitimate heter. It's not something that's rejected la halacha. We don't assume these are two deus in the Gemara that disagree with each other. As I pointed out, all the Rishonim even quote the Racha saying that both heterim are good. Even though Rabbeinu Chananel wouldn't have Tosus's right, he wouldn't have Tosus's diuk of all three nafkaminas pointing in the same direction. Now we discussed previously when we were discussing Pasachim, I guess we discussed the concept of Olal Shulchan Malachim. I guess we discussed a little bit in Bishlachim also. We discussed what does it mean Olal Shulchan Malachim. Famous. Chakira. Is Olal Shulchan Malachim something that a king would serve at a royal banquet? Or does Olal Shulchan Malachim mean something that a king would eat? If it's something that a king would serve at a royal banquet, it would have to be a significantly higher quality food than something that a king would eat. A king would eat, as long as it's not, a king would eat food for breakfast that he wouldn't serve at his banquet, and he wouldn't serve at a state dinner, but that's still considered to be, so that's the shaila. Is that called Olal Shulchan Malachim or not? So if you recall, Rabbi Kanak in his article in the first Masorah journal says that Rav Schwab asked this shaila of the Chazon Ish about the sardines that all the Rosh Yeshiva in Europe used to eat, and he asked, are sardines Olal Shulchan Malachim? They would never serve it at a royal banquet, and the Chazon Ish said, the King of England has sardines for breakfast also. So the Chazon Ish clearly understood that it's tali on what a king would eat, as long as it's not a machal garua. Rav Salvechik is quoted as having said that any canned food automatically is not Olal Shulchan Malachim. But that doesn't necessarily tell you one way or the other. The assumption might be that a king wouldn't eat canned foods because it's a machal garua. Canned foods in general are of a lesser quality than fresh food. The king is interested in eating fresh food. He's not interested in eating canned food. Now we developed that idea a little bit. But let's just develop this idea a little bit further once we're actually discussing Olal Shulchan Malachim. Again, basic chakira, is it something he wouldn't serve at a royal banquet? Ain Olal Shulchan Malachim something he wouldn't serve at a royal banquet or something he wouldn't eat? What are the two reasons we had for Bishalakum? So we had either Rashi and the Mishnah and all the other Rishonim and Tosfos said Misham Chasnus, or we had Rashi on Lamed Chesam and Aleph at the top, and it's also Shita of the Rashbam exclusively holds the Shita that it's because it's going to Shamiyachilenu Davar Tameh, that he's not going, that he, if you get in the habit of eating with him and he's always inviting you over, ultimately he's going to give you non kosher food to eat. So Rabbi Ganak wants to suggest that if you hold that the Isser is Mishum Chasnus, so I understand Olal Shulchan Malachim very well. I understand why there's a heter for something that's not Olal Shulchan Malachim, because a machal that's Olal Shulchan Malachim, Besudas Malchus, is going to create a sense of chiba, it's going to create a sense of a connection to the person. He did something really nice for you. He made for you really good food. But if it's just about eating his food, chashash that he's going to eat, he's going to feed you a davar tameh, why does it have to be Olal Shulchan Malachim? Every time I go to my friend's house, I expect a royal dinner. I expect literally Olal Shulchan Malachim. I expect a royal banquet. So Rabbi Ganak wants to suggest that this chakira is tali on the two reasons. That if you're going to say the reason is Mishum Chasnus, if the reason of Bishlakum, the reason for the Yisra of Bishlakum is that you're going to come to marry him, to marry his daughter, to marry a non-Jew, so if the reason is Mishum Chasnus, so then you understand that it would have to be something that would be really special, that would create some sort of special relationship. And that would be something that would be served at a royal banquet. But if the reason is Shami Achilenu Davar Tameh, the concern is just that you're going to eat together with him a lot. That he's going to invite you over to his house. Well, not every time your friend invites you over to his house is he going to serve you a royal banquet. But you know what he will serve you? He'll serve you something that's not disgusting. He'll serve you something that's not a Michael Garua. People don't invite their friends over and then serve them 3 weeks ago's leftovers. It's on the way out, but we think it might still be okay. Right, you don't do that when you invite a friend over. When you invite someone over to your house, you invite them over to have reasonably decent food. So he wanted a taina that if you hold the reason is because Shami Yachlenu Davar Tameh, the concern is not just Shami Yachlenu Davar Tameh, but the way Rashi says that Yehiragi Let's Tov B'Michael Mishnah, you're gonna always be going over to him. You're always gonna be eating together with him. That's as long as it's not a Michael Garua, that's a legitimate concern. That's how he wants the taina. What? Well, that could lead to chasnus also, but he's saying if the concern is a more specific concern that you're going to eat this kind of food and you're going to feel so close to him, it's likely not. It's likely a higher quality food that would lead to chasnus, but the lower quality food would just lead to eating together a lot. Yeah.
But how is that second way of thinking? Oh, for the
Eidol Shulchan Lachem would mean a Michael Garua, something that's just a bad food. It's just not a high quality food. So when you invite a friend over, you at least serve fresh. You serve quality. You wouldn't serve canned food. You serve quality food, right? But it doesn't have to be. You don't serve steak and caviar. It doesn't have to be something that's all shulchan lachem in the sense that would be served at a state dinner. Again, that was our basic hakira. Is olal shulchan malachim something that would be served at a state dinner? Or is olal shulchan malachim anything the king would eat because it's not an inferior quality? Because it's not an inferior quality. He would have it for breakfast. You see pictures of President Obama eating at some, you know, burger place also. As long as it's a reasonable hamburger, he'll eat it. Right? He's not going to serve it at a state dinner. No, I would eat something even if it's maybe leftovers on its way out, maybe a machal garua, canned food, all that stuff. I would eat that. But when I invite a friend over, I would at least raise my standards to be the standard of what a king would eat, you know, on his worst day. Right? So when you're mazmin somebody, when you invite somebody over, that's the assumption. The problem with this connection that Rabbi Ganach tries to make is, and he points it out himself, is the Rambam in Hilchos Machol Sasuros, Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Tezvav, reads as follows. Rambam writes, "Davar she'eino olal shulchan lachem lechol ba'asapas, kigon, termusin sheshulchan oso akum, afal pishen lechol chayim, things that are not olal shulchan lachem, harel mutarin, they're mutar. Why?" The Rambam says, "She'ikra gzeru mishum chasnus, the ikra gzeru is one of chasnus," and then the very next line, "Shelo yizamnu akum etzlo besu'uda," that the guy shouldn't come to invite you over too frequently. Rabbi Ganach wanted to say that the din of him inviting you over, that's a din in machil davar tameh. That if it's something he would invite you for, so that's as long as it's not a machil garua, and that only makes sense if the concern is that he's going to feed you a davar tameh. If your concern is about chaslus, it's not about that he's going to invite you, it's that you had this one time, you had this delicious meal that he made you, that is all shulchum lachem, that will be served at a royal banquet, so that would lead to chaslus. The Rambam mixes the two. The Rambam says that it's going to lead to him inviting you over on a consistent basis, and that's the concern of chaslus. Chaslus isn't you have one delicious meal and you say, oh, now I'm going to come to marry the person. Chaslus is also that you're just going to come to eat with the person a lot, and once you come to eat with the person a lot, you'll feel connected to the person, and ultimately you'll feel so close that you'll assimilate, and a person will end up marrying a non-Jewish woman. Right? That's the concern of chasnus. And that's how we've been explaining chasnus really the whole time, against this vart that Rabbi Ganach wanted to say. So really what it comes out is that you can say enol shulchan lachem means something that's not a bad food, something that's not a lower quality food, and still hold of the reason of chasnus. It's not tolei zebezeh. There is another machlokas rishonim. We pointed out yesterday when the Gemara talks about ein ol shulchan lachem, it doesn't just say ein ol shulchan lachem; it says ein ol shulchan lachem l'lafes boes hapas. That it's not something that would be served by a king at a king's table l'lafes boes hapas, to be eaten together with bread. So, is that an important element of the heter, or is that not an important element of the heter? I mean, what if it's not used l'lafes boes hapas? So, what would the halacha be then? So this is Machlokes Rishonim. The Rashba, in the Torah of Ayis Ha'aruch, writes in the name of the Rach, that Daisa, some type of porridge or hot cereal or something, is Aser, even though it's not Malafes HaSapas, because that which the Gemara says, that it has to be Malafes HaSapas, is Lav Dafka. Malafes HaSapas doesn't really mean it. It just means something that's all Shulchan Malachim. Malafes HaSapas is just an expression. But it really just has to be something that's all Shulchan Malachim. So even though it's something that you would never eat together with bread, as long as it would be eaten by a king, it would be subject to Bishul Akum. However, the Ritva disagrees. The Ritva in Avodah Zarah Lamelches, in our Sugya, says that no, in order to be Aser, it has to be something that's Nechal L'Lafes Bo HaSapas. It has to be all Shulchan Malachim and L'Lafes Bo HaSapas. What are they arguing about? So Rabbi Ganach wanted to connect this to that Machlokas as well. That what's the concern over here? Is the concern that the Michael be a Michael Chashuv, or is the concern that it be Chashuv enough that he would invite you for it for a meal, in the context of a meal? He says as follows, Madit sarak sheyochel roi lafis bo sapas humishum derak oz chashav al machal kechelik misu'uda kvua. If you're saying lafis bo sapas, what are you saying? That this food is only eaten with bread, meaning it's always eaten in the context of a real su'uda. And the chachamim only ask for food that a person would invite his friend over for a su'uda with. And therefore, you would say, if it's something that I would only invite my friend over for a su'uda for, so then it would have to be something lafis bo sapas, because that's part of a real su'uda. But according to the Rashba and the Rabbeinu Chananel that he quotes, that you don't need it to be a lafis ba'as apas, so it could be that the idea of olah shulchan malachim is not because he's going to come to invite you, it's just that it itself is a davar chashuv, itself that's a show of chiba, but it's not that it's going to be ongoing inviting you to meals, because if it's not lafis ba'as apas, it's not a meal, it's not hazmana to a su'uda, it's just that he made you this one item, and the item is a standalone item. So he wanted to suggest that same tut studim of whether it's royal banquet or something that's just not a machal gerua, which he then connects to the two reasons of chasnus and yachlenu davar tamei, with his understanding that chasnus means even just a one-time thing because it's such a great food, and yachlenu davar tamei is yargil etzlos, that you're going to come to be on an ongoing basis, you're going to be a guest in his home for meals, that would play out in this machlokas between the Rashba and the Ritva as well. Whether if it's an issue of yargil etzlos in terms of su'uda, so would dafka have to be something lafis bo sapas, like the Ritva says, and if it's not a din in yargil etzlos that you're going to come to eat by him consistently, it's just a din that he's going to make you something that's really good, so then it doesn't make a difference if it's lafis bo sapas or not. That would be like the Rashba and Rabbeinu Chananel. That's what Rabbi Ganak wanted to taina in his piece on Bishalakim. You can like it, you cannot like it, I don't know. The connections are a little bit tenuous, and as he pointed out himself, the Rambam seems to not hold by this whole connection, by lining up the Shitos quite in this way. Okay. What if the food right now, the way it is not Olah al Shulchan Malachim, the way you're going to eat it, it's not Olah al Shulchan Malachim, but it could be made to be Olah al Shulchan Malachim. Meaning, presumably, when they serve something at a state dinner, they prepare it in a way that's an extremely dignified way. And when you eat it at home for dinner for yourself, you're not going to prepare it quite in that way. So do you say, well, since I'm preparing it in a derech, that's not olal shulchan malachim, memel, it's not a problem? It's not a problem bishalakum? Or is it not totally on how I personally prepare it? It's a type of food. This type of food in general could be prepared to be olal shulchan malachim, Memela, even for me, it's Olal Shulchan Malachim. How would you say? Yeah?
How is this question different than the dates you can record?
Well, that was the Ramban understood that the dates, seems to be the Ramban understood that the dates are never really Olal Shulchan Malachim. No. The way the Ryan explained, the Ramban held that once the dates are cooked, they must not be Olal Shulchan Malachim, because they're a worse kind of date. You pick them off when they were raw, when they were unripened from the tree, so they're a worse kind of date. But the Ryan understands that it would be Olal Shulchan Malachim after you cook it. Right? The Ryan would say that it would be Olal Shulchan Malachim.
They both agree that after it's cooked, though. I mean, the Ryan just says it's a different type of date. But everyone agrees, though, that if it was something that's just bad now, but then it becomes good, then
it would be called Olah Shulchan Malachim. So you say that would for sure be Olah Shulchan Malachim. But the difference is, that's just, you do any cooking to it, it becomes Olah Shulchan Malachim. What I'm saying over here is that you can cook it, and then you can cook it in a better way. There are multiple ways to cook it. Right? If I, it's like the mashal, if you have hot dogs, you can take hot dogs and make them on the grill if you want them to taste good, or you can put them on those turning things that they have in like cafeterias and stuff that don't taste as good. Right, they just, so that those are the right. So if you cook it in the less good way, is that still called Olal Shulchan Malachim? Even though you're not preparing it in a way that's it's the best. Maybe some people like it that way. I don't know. So my assumption is no one likes it that way. Yeah. Any good? No. Okay. We all agree. Okay. So Darkei Tshuva just points out very partially. He says it has to be that it's called Olal Shulchan Malachim. Darkei Tshuva was the Munkacher. Munkacher wrote basically collected on Yerideya all of the achronim that came after the Pesach Tshuva and put them together in Sefer Darkei Tshuva, separate Sefer Darkei Tshuva and Shulchan Aruch Yerideya. And Rav Shechter points out that if you read Darkei Tshuva in different simanim, you'll find that some of the simanim are much more thorough than others. because the Munkacher didn't really write the whole thing himself. He had the guys in the yeshiva working on it. So he had one guy in yeshiva working on Simon Kuf Yud Gimel, another guy working on Simon Kuf Yud Dalet. So the better guys in the yeshiva produced a better product. And he was the general editor of the project. But sometimes there wasn't such, the quality control wasn't completely consistent. But Darkei Tshuva points out that there would be no Issur of Bishul Akum left if the definition of Halal Shulchan Malachim was that you're preparing it in the best possible way. Because most of us, the way we're eating it would not be the way, the guy that works in the White House, the chef in the White House, he's a pro. And as good as our cooking at home probably is, this guy gets paid a lot of money to do this for a living, he said you'd completely get rid of the entire Issur of Bishul Akum if you would say that you have to cook it in a way that's that the way you prepared it, the king would eat it at a state dinner, that the king would serve it at a state dinner. It's not shaykh. It has to be that if it's the kind of food that the White House chef could turn into something that he would serve at a state dinner, then even if you don't turn it into something that he would serve at a state dinner, you just cook it the way you eat it, that would also be us. I think l'chora, that's a davar pashut, right? Mestama, you have to say that way. The Chelkas Binyamin, however, tries to compare it to the following case. What's a case? You have a type of shemen. How do you make the shemen? You take certain seeds, and the garinim themselves, the seeds themselves, this is source number 22, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, the seeds themselves are not roi lechel chai. They're not edible raw. Once you cook them, they're not olal shulchan malachim, right? They're still not olal shulchan malachim. But when you draw the oil out of them after cooking them, the oil is olal shulchan malachim. So now, if you want to eat the seeds can be eaten once they're cooked. But once they're cooked, as seeds, they would never be olal shulchan malachim. If you were to draw oil out of them, the oil that you would draw out of them is olal shulchan malachim. So he quotes a discussion in Poskim about this. And he says, what emerges from the Poskim is that since right now, as seeds, they're not olal shulchan malachim, so melech can be mutter. If a guy cooks them for you, it's mutter to eat them. So how does that stem with the Darkei Tshuva? Isn't that the same exact thing? Darkei Tshuva says you have a food that could be prepared in a way that will be olal shulchan malachim. It's still going to be aser, even if you didn't prepare it in a way that's olal shulchan malachim. And yet, he quotes, who's he quoting from the Cheker Halacha, I think, who says, the Beis Shlomo, Tshuva's Beis Shlomo, that when it comes to these seeds, if you eat them as seeds without... after they're cooked, without drawing the oil out of them. Now, if you would just draw the oil out of them, they'd be olal shulchan malachim, but you chose not to. So then it's okay, then it's not considered olal shulchan malachim. So what's the difference between the two? So he points out that there is a fundamental difference between the two. The fundamental difference between the two is that when it comes to the seeds, when you're drawing oil out of it, you're completely changing the tzura of it. Meaning, you didn't prepare it in just a different way, in an inferior way to the way that, let's put it this way, you didn't prepare it in an inferior way to the way the king would have it, you prepared it in a completely different way than the way the king would have it. When you cook a food and you just don't cook it in the fanciest way, you're doing it in an inferior way, but it's not totally different. The king would cook it in a very, in a strong way, and you would cook it in a less strong way. But you're doing the same thing, you're cooking. Over here, when you're having the seeds plain, so that having the seeds plain is just is the only way to have the seeds is once they're cooked, eating them the way you're eating them. It's not that there's some better way to make seeds. There's a better way to make oil, but that's not what you're eating. You're not eating oil. That's a shinoi in the tsura of the item. That's a change in the very substance, in the very form of the item that would not affect you if you're not trying to eat it with that change. So that's how he wants to be mechalek, that it could be that the two are totally unrelated. What this might also relate to, and he also tries to connect it, is what if a food is cooked already to the point of kamachol ben drusai? So would you say that it's now, would it still be subject to bishul akum? Right? Now, when it's cooked to kamachol ben drusai, it's not olal shulchan malachim. And so the guy is taking something that would not be olal shulchan malachim, and he's making it roi, Lalos al Shulchan Malachim. Okay, we'll get back to the Machal Ben Jusai maybe later when we discuss the different parts of the Bishul. That will be in the next packet. Let's finish up these Heterim over here first. Okay, so definitionally, we discussed yesterday, when it came to Nechel Kamo Shulchai, does it depend on time and place, on where you live, and you know what country you live in, and what's commonly eaten in that country? Rabbi Gnack assumes, before Rabbi Gnack, the Aruch HaShulchan says explicitly, Kuf Yud Gimel Yud Ches, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, I don't have it here, do I have it here? The Aruch HaShulchan Kuf Yud Gimel Yud Ches, toward the end of the paragraph, Matzasil Gadol Echad Shekasov Shetapuche Adama Olun Al Shulch Malachim. He says, I found the Gadol Echad, and then he points out it's the Chachmas Adam, who writes that potatoes are all al Shulchan Malachim. He says, V'ulai d'bizman ha-kadmon shlo ha-yazeh benimtza, ha-yamachal chashuv. He says, it could be back in the old days that they considered potatoes a-machal chashuv. He says, nowadays we don't anymore. Nowadays we have so many potatoes, it's not considered a chashuv ha-machal anymore, so nowadays it's no longer all al Shulchan Malachim. B'medina Seinu, we put shezor mosel marbe, it's machal rov ha-amon, everyone, every poor person eats potatoes, it's considered a poor man's food, it's certainly not all al Shulchan Malachim. Very clearly, the Aruch HaShulchan says, all al Shulchan Malachim depends on where you are, who you are, what's eaten at that time. It's not like Chazal came up with a list once of what's all al Shulchan Malachim, and that's it. It obviously depends on the social climate. Now, the truth is, if I'm not mistaken, I think I was told once that the OU tries to, every once in a while, when they have a shaila about all al Shulchan Malachim, they call the White House, and they speak to the chef to find out whether that would be something that was served at a state dinner. They had a big to-do a while ago about potato chips, when Bush came into the White House and everything was tacos and whatever. So they had a big to-do whether potato chips are all al Shulchan Malachim or not. The assumption always was that potato chips are deep fried, right? They're fried in oil, which would be bishul. It's not a fia. So the assumption was, but potato chips are not all al Shulchan Malachim, so you can have a guy make the potato chips. So it was a whole thing. Potato chips for a short tkufa became fancy. It became something that they served in very fancy places. So that's you have to know. You have to be on top of these things. I pointed out mashed potatoes also. Exactly the Aruch HaShulchan's issue. Mashed potatoes for a long time was something that was a school lunch type of thing. Plop, you know, always in the movies of what they served in the army. It was something that wasn't considered appetizing. And then for a while, for some tkufa, you would go to chasnas and there would always be mashed potatoes at the on your plate. So again, these things are subject to change. But even within subject to change, you know, you can make potatoes in a way that's all al Shulchan Malachim, and you can make potatoes in a way that's not all al Shulchan Malachim. Do you follow each min or do you not follow each min? Do you say potatoes are all al Shulchan Malachim? Or do you say, well, mashed potatoes are not all al Shulchan Malachim, even if potatoes are all al Shulchan Malachim, because you can make potatoes in such a way where they'll serve it as a side. They'll have sliced up potatoes that are roasted or whatever as a side dish on the Shulchan Malachim. How do you look at it? So Rabbi Gnack is confident. He says that this idea of Ein al Shulchan Malachim, lo mistavar lo mer sheyesh b'zeh inyan shel kvius minim. He says you don't look at the min and say, okay, potatoes are or aren't. Says you have to look at the way you're eating them as well. And this is nogea specifically to what he was most concerned about, which was, of course, the tuna fish shayla, right? The OU canned tuna fish. He says, you're right. Tuna might be olal Shulchan Malachim if it's prepared in a certain way, if it's sliced tuna or whatever that they might prepare in a certain way, or if it's sushi. But you don't look at tuna fish as a whole. You look at canned tuna. And canned tuna, can of tuna, something that would never be olal Shulchan Malachim. Mele, it's not a problem, bishlakum.
Isn't that the same question as
what
food is? So then he's arguing. With,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right. So meaning, right? He's saying the opposite side. He's saying that even it seems to me to be the same question as the Darkei Tshuva. So it seems that he's going against the Darkei Tshuva. Darkei Tshuva says, no, you'd get rid of all of Bishalakim this way. The question is exactly how do you draw the line? Maybe you have to say something like the Chalkas Binyamin said, that there's a difference between qualitative different way of preparing it versus. And it's hard to define. Versus, I'm preparing it the same way, just not as well. I'm just not as good at it. You know, if I cook something and the White House chef cooks something, when I cook it, it's not going to come out as good. So it's not going to be all Shulchan Malachim. In that sense, that's what the Darkei Tshuva was saying. Come on, then you're going to be Mvatel all of Hilchos Bishalakim. But if I'm preparing it in a way, Bekavana, differently, I'm preparing it in a way that would never be all Shulchan Malachim. Mashed potatoes is not the same as sliced potatoes or whatever. You know, so maybe that would be the chiluk. Maybe then it wouldn't have to argue on the Darkei Tshuva. If you read it like the Chalkos Binyamin reads it, maybe you could say it like that. Yeah.
Can you possibly categorize it the way the Ramah categorized min v'mino? That a min is by shame, it's a different name, it's a different name.
Interesting.
I mean,
certainly, you're not applying it in the sense, you know, you're saying that that basic geder makes sense, right? The basic geder makes sense to work over here. Yeah, maybe sounds good. I don't know. I didn't see anyone who said it, but sounds good. I think the Chalkos Binyamin is trying to strike this balance, because if you go too far in either extreme, you're going to end up with something ridiculous. So he's trying to strike this balance, so it's very hard to be magdir exactly how to strike that balance properly. Rav Sturmbach has a tshuva about chocolate. Right? Is chocolate considered something that's all Shulchan Malachim? Now, there are some very fine chocolates out there that are very expensive. Rav Sturmbach suggests that that would fit into the category of something that's not made l'lafis b'asapas. Right? L'chara would be totally on that issue of l'lafis, but that machlokes rishonim of whether l'lafis b'asapas is necessary. Right? Because although in Israel they have chocolate spread, right? It's disgusting. But they have chocolate spread on bread. So maybe there it is l'lafis b'asapas, but in America it's not l'lafis b'asapas. But Rav Sturmbach suggests that he suggests different svaras to be matter of chocolate. He says that chocolate is not really meant to be eaten as a food. It's going back to the old live to eatery to live chakira. So chocolate, you don't eat chocolate because you need chocolate. You eat chocolate because you like it, chocolate, not because you need it. Right? Chocolate is the type of food that's lahatama bi'alma. It's really meant for the taste. It's not really meant for the nourishment that you're getting from the chocolate. And he says, therefore, he says it's more like coffee or he says like tea, coffee, hot chocolate. People eat it and we're not concerned about bishalakam. Now, he's assuming the reason we drink coffee that's cooked by a guy is because it's not really meant as a food, as a nourishment, or whatever. The real heter is because it has a din of water. It's just, like we said before, colored water. But he's assuming now that these types of foods are just eaten as dessert-type foods, which, if you really take it to its logical, you know, to its logical conclusions, then you'd say any dessert would not be subject to bishalakum. That would be a tremendous, tremendous kula. Rav Sturmbach wouldn't say that, I don't think, but that's where logically his argument takes you, because he says yesh poskim de b'machalim sha'ochlam arayi v'lo b'su'uda sh'lo nesu mishum b'shalakim. He's mitzarif the shita and rishonim that anything that's not eaten as part of the su'uda anyway is not b'shalakim, and then he's mitzarif the shita that anything that's made b'beis charoshes, anything that's made in a factory anyway, maybe isn't subject to b'shalakim. So maybe if you combine all those things, he says chocolate is not going to be a problem of bishlakum, yeah.
On tea and coffee, I think in our society, like green tea, many people only drink it because it has like antioxidants.
Right.
And coffee, many people just drink it for the caffeine. So it would seem like if you are drinking it for the nutrients, then there should be an issue of bishlakum.
Right. I mean, you're drinking it for what it has. That's why I said our real heter with tea and coffee is that it's considered water. It's considered nachol kamo shulchai. Because we view it as just water with a little bit of coloring in it. That's the real hetzer that we use. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. We'll do a 10-minute halacha shir. And then we'll have a marav. Oh, yeah.
New recording.
New recording, yeah.